Welcome to chapter 5 of Chronicles of Mad Lab Assistant, A Darker Pygmalion. This episode is sponsored by the Cumin Club, which is a wonderful online shop that specializes in freeze-dried Indian food that can be prepared in 5 minutes. And it's made with complete natural products. For adventure in cuisine, I really recommend this. Not only do they deliver it to your doorstep, but they can actually adjust it to your dietary needs if you're vegan or have food allergies. So if you're interested in shopping at the Cumin Club online, check out their wonderful products, simmering sauces, and other vegan delights. And then when you go to checkout, you can get 30% off by using my promo code of MADLAB. And this will be 30% off to your whole purchase of that day. Okay, now to the story, chapter 5. The cab deposited Edward and his valise at the family's Boston townhouse just before noon. He knew that he might yet share luncheon with some of his kin before setting out on his errands. An Irish maid answered the door, her startled expression melting into a warm smile when she recognized him. "Mrs. Gore is in the smaller dining room, sir," she informed him politely. "I shall see your bag taken to your room, if you wish to join her." Edward inclined his head in acknowledgement and proceeded to the smaller dining room. It was a sunny chamber, French doors opening onto a balcony, the polished oak table comfortably seated four, and was adorned with hothouse flowers in a cut glass vase. His mother sat sipping tea and reading a novel. Remnants of her luncheon still lingered on the table. She wore a simple sky blue silk day frock, her dark hair pulled back into a neat bun at the nape of her neck. Coral beads brightened the ensemble with a splash of contrasting color. Edward kissed her cheek before settling into his usual place at the table. She looked up from her book and blinked as she took in his appearance, his casual sweater and linen trousers seeming rather informal. The maid arrived with his luncheon and set it before him. Emily Marsh Gore waited patiently while he began on the soup course before speaking. "Edward, darling, what on earth brings you to Boston? Should you not be at school in Arkham?" She closed the novel and regarded him with those puzzled brown eyes. He finished his soup and pushed the bowl aside. "I'm shopping for supplies, Mother," he said, abandoning the collegiate mater title in favor of something simpler. "Arkham lacks what I require." "Oh," she said, refilling her cup from a nearby rose-decorated pot. "Arkham is indeed a bit limited," she nodded thoughtfully, conceding that Boston was a far superior city to the more provincial Arkham. "Do you require any money?" Edward surveyed his mental list and prices he expected. "I could use some. I have funds, but they may fall short." "Very well, dear," she said, setting down her cup and rising. She returned shortly, handing him several bills. Picking up her novel and shawl, she passed him with a wish for a successful shopping trip. He watched her depart and counted the notes with a small smile. His mother's generosity was no surprise. He tucked the money into his billfold, finished his luncheon, then rose to begin his errands. The afternoon stretched before him. He planned to return to Arkham the following day for work and classes on Monday. He retired to his room, leaving the valise on the quilted double bed. Sitting at the desk, He carefully compiled his shopping list, determined not to forget anything, and thereby avoid a needless return to Boston. Titanium alloy, silica gel, plenty of silk, copper wiring, solder, needles, and thread, he murmured, ticking off items as they came to mind. He pondered how he wished his automaton to appear. Eschatized himself, frock, glass eyes, wig, shoes, stockings, unmentionables, and paint, he added, shaking his head at nearly forgetting those essentials. Once satisfied, he unpacked his valise and washed up, changing into fresh attire. He checked his pocket watch and found that he had time to visit the factory stores. He left the townhouse and hailed a passing taxicab, directing the driver to the family's airship plant. Edward alighted at the plant and requested that the driver return in an hour. Nodding to the receptionist, he made his way to the manufacturing wing where parts were fashioned. He had calculated the amount of titanium alloy he needed for the automaton's frame and other materials for his project. Ed glanced into the hangar where the airship's envelope was being formed. Workers spoke quietly as they assembled and sealed it. Nearby craftsmen built luxurious cabin furniture. He took advantage of being the plant owner's son and detoured by the engineering department to inspect the new passenger airship's design. Edward nodded to several employees, acquaintances from previous summer jobs at the plant. Finally, he reached the stores department, inspected their stock. He began filling out a requisition forms for his materials and presented them to the man in charge, who had just finished his shift and was amenable to discussion. Edward explained his purpose and requested the items be billed and shipped to Arkham at the earliest. They shook hands, and Edward departed without delay. He suspected his father was about somewhere in the plant, but hoped to avoid any pressure to remain working there post-graduation. Outside, the cab driver waited. Edward checked his list and instructed him to take him to the local shopping district where the remainder of his supplies could be found. They sped back toward Boston city center along Macadam Roads. The early hour meant shops were open, and he asked to be dropped off near his intended destinations, which lay conveniently close to each other and not far from his family's home. Silica gel and bolts of silk proved easy to procure, and he purchased sufficient quantities. However, the wig and ladies' garments gave him some embarrassment. The shopping area felt like no man's land. Clerks and passersby regarded him oddly. He explained he was buying gifts for his fiancée, though he offered no further detail. For the wig, he abandoned pretense, simply selecting one at random and paying for it. He visited four different shops to gather all the clothing. By the time he finished, he felt inclined to raid his father's liquor cabinet for a well-earned drink. Weary but satisfied, Edward returned to his family home and trudged to his room. He dropped his purchases near the bed and showered and changed for dinner. Knowing the trunk room contained spare trunks, he had no concern about transporting his haul back to Arkham. Descending the curved stairs to the first floor, he found his father home and nodded to both parents as he took his usual seat at the dining table. Absence of any remark from his father about his unexpected presence suggested that his mother had already apprised him. Charles Edgar Gore was no man to dine in soiled attire. After a refreshing shower, he donned clothing befitting a dinner with his wife, adding a smoking jacket for an air of elegance. Smiling at his wife's presence, he settled at the head of the table, anticipating a pleasant riposte. "Did you have a good day?" he inquired, sipping whiskey. He preferred to hear of his wife's day to distract himself from the business at the plant, expecting a little of consequence. Edward will be joining us for dinner, dear, she replied calmly, unfolding her napkin upon her lap. Charles choked momentarily on his whiskey. What is he doing in Boston? though not earth-shattering news that caught him off guard. School supplies, I think. He says that the University of Arkham can't provide what he needs, she offered without delving into specifics. He grunted and took a larger swallow of whiskey. His gray eyes gleamed at the thought of having his eldest home briefly during the semester. It will be good to see our son. I trust his health is robust. A step in the doorway signals Edward's arrival. Greetings, parents. Edward waited until lamb chops, Duchess potatoes, and peas were served before taking a sip of the wine poured for him. Halfway through his meal, his father inquired what business had brought him to Boston. He ate a bite of lamb before replying in a monotone. I have a class project requiring materials unavailable in Arkham. Silence settled over the table, broken only by the clink of silverware against fine china. After a pause, his father spoke again. You graduate in May. That weekend will be your opportunity to settle back here. Your mother will take you shopping for suitable attire, and then I expect you to present yourself at the engineering department by 7 o'clock sharp. Don't trouble yourself with hiring paperwork. I will have it ready for your signature. Charles laid his silverware upon an empty plate and leaned back, sighing contentedly. The maid cleared the tableware and served plates of pineapple upside-down cake. Edward scowled at the dessert but ate it nonetheless. It was his favorite. He wished to grind his teeth at his father's assumption that he would enter the family business immediately upon graduation. He hated that his parents never asked what he truly wished to do. He resolved it was not the moment to mention other plans. When he finished, he declined after dinner coffee and announced his desire for an early night, dropping his napkin on the dessert plate. He pushed back his chair with a loud scrape against the parquet floor, taking small pleasure in the twin winces it drew from his parents. He fetched a trunk from the storage room and packed his purchases before preparing for bed. If luck favored him, he would leave before his parents rose. He was in bed and lights out when a soft tap came at his door. Feigning sleep, he steadied his breathing as the door cracked open and a sliver of hallway light spilled in. Peering through the slit eyes, he recognized his mother's figure and felt guilty, but decided it best to ignore her visit. The bedroom door closed softly, and footsteps retreated down the corridor. Turning onto his side, Edward settled his thoughts and surrendered to Morpheus. He awoke early to the first rays of sunlight spilling across his face from the window beside his bed. He rose, completed his morning routine, dressed, and finished packing his valise. Carrying both pieces of luggage downstairs, he then went to breakfast. By the time he had finished his bacon, eggs, muffins, juice, and coffee, the trains were starting their runs. He summoned a servant to procure a taxicab and carry the luggage to the vehicle. He intended to leave before his parents were fully awake, as was his preference. Edward reached the first train to Arkham with time to spare. Sliding into a car apartment with a couple of books, he prepared for the often tedious journey ahead. As the train pulled from the station, he was already immersed a few pages into the first chapter of one of his volumes.